The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We have a full house today. We have three colleagues from the GSA. We're going to talk about data visualization, data analytics, and what to do with that piles and piles of big data you got sitting on your desk or maybe sitting in your server down the hall or maybe in the cloud. We have three people here. The first person is Chris Rowley. He's the Chief Data Officer at the GSA. His colleague is Ryan Swan. He's the Director of Data Analytics. And last but not least is Edward Maiman, and he is the technical manager at GSA. I think it's Maiman. Is that right, Edward?
Correct.
Okay, great. And I have done a lot of shows on big data. I have done just occasional shows on data visualization. But I think we're reaching a tipping point, as Malcolm Gladwell will say, and where, you know, there is no agency that's listening. There's no agency in the planet, I think, that suffers from too little data. I mean, they look at NASA, look at FEMA, look at HHS. I mean, all kinds of information bouncing off those agencies. And I thought it'd be good to bring in three people who have worked with large amounts of data and try to make sense of all this data and maybe visualize it and make it of value to other federal employees, maybe make it value to citizens and valuable to the medical community, to mapping community, all kinds of different applications for data visualization. But before we begin, I'm sure we're scratching our heads and going, well, geez, how do these fellows wind up knowing so much about data visualization and analytics? Chris, tell us about your background, please.
I come to GSA via Treasury with a brief stop at OMB in between. I worked at Treasury both at the Bureau level, the Internal Revenue Service, and in the CFO's office, as well as at headquarters level, both for the Chief Information Officer and the CFO at Treasury headquarters. You know, kind of spent my career bouncing around IT and finance, and by doing that at Treasury, I found myself in a position which I was responsible for reporting in a large management area, both in the HR area, the finance area, the IT area, and begin to understand the data that these different organizations had and how they come together and how when they come together, they provide more useful information than when they're reported on independently.
I would imagine with Treasury, you'd be sensitive to security and data and what can be seen and what can't be seen, what can be shared, what can't be shared, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we bounce around the term, you know, the PII terminology and the sensitive terminology and trying to, you know, put a wrap around each of those and understand what is sensitive data, what is data that can be released, how do we release it, how do we secure it, but yet still make it useful internal to an agency. So, you know, I worked closely with Ryan here to my left while I was at Treasury, and, you know, we bounce around those challenges, which continue to be challenges, but they're not barriers to using the data. They're just means that and processes that you have to go through in order to make sure the data is secure.
Ryan Swan, you're a big University of Maryland fan. Tell us about your background, please.
Yes, absolutely. So prior to coming to GSA, like Chris mentioned, I also spent some time, about 6 years at Treasury, doing business intelligence, leveraging data primarily across HR, finance, procurement, real property to help drive decision making. Prior to that, I actually was in the United States Marine Corps on the aviation side. And there we leveraged data in the aviation wing to be for mission completeness, to continue the mission during Operation Iraqi Freedom.
There we go. Sensitivity to data that can and can't be shared.
Absolutely.
And I think that we got the finance part, we got the military part, and if you don't be careful with some of that stuff, you're in big trouble. Ed Maiman, your background, please, how you wound up at GSA?
Well, I was in private sector for a number of years, and I started at GSA in 2005, so I just celebrated my 10-year anniversary. I specialize in building enterprise IT solutions and shifting paradigms. I was the first one to introduce a enterprise-wide application server solution, then service-oriented architecture framework, and now I'm focusing on business intelligence and data analytics and logical data warehousing, shifting paradigm in that area.
Logical data warehousing. My. No one ever thought of that phrase 8 or 10 years ago. Chris, I have a question for you. For years, I used to always tell people that business intelligence was taking numerical information and presenting it in a graphical fashion. And so what does business intelligence mean to you in your capacity?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's business intelligence software, which is a technology used to make sense of data, present it to decision makers in a meaningful way so that during discussions, people can make the right decision. I think where we're progressing is we're taking multiple data sources and adding them to a data warehouse, a logical data warehouse, in which you're then putting the business intelligence on top of multiple sources of data to help answer the question. I think where we're going is, where we're trying to get to is real-time information in which as you're sitting in a meeting having discussion and someone says, yeah, I'd really like to know when my lease is going to expire, if I really need it 5 years from now based on my human capital strategy, that people can make those types of assumptions in real time during meetings. I think we're a ways away from that, but that's what we're striving for, is to be able to take real-time data snapshots and make real decisions on the fly in meetings.
You know, and Ryan, I'll bet when you're in the Marine Corps and an officer asks you to get for information, you wouldn't say, oh, I'll get to you in a couple months.
Absolutely not.
You'd be on the ground. You'd be doing push-ups all day long. So time sensitivity is something that's a part of business intelligence as well. Huh?
Absolutely. One of the things that to add on to what Chris kind of mentioned, you know, business intelligence is about taking information, a lot of time is data, it could be other evidence, and bridging and using that information to kind of move from reporting, which a lot of agencies do, which is, you know, columns and charts, moving from reporting to information to knowledge. And, you know, so you kind of go from this, hey, this is the information that I collect. So what does it mean? Are we talking golf scores or basketball scores? And if we're talking golf scores, then what can I predict, or what can I expect to happen in the future, and how can I impact it? So you can really kind of answer the so what question. So it, which kind of gets to the business side of the decision making.
Edward Maiman, we had Amazon in the studio here a few weeks back. And they have I can't even imagine them. Amazon Redshift and Kinesis and so many different programs. And when I think of data warehouses, I think of Amazon. Is that part of your toolkit there? Does GSA use Amazon Web Services or outside vendors, or where does the cloud fit in all this?
Well, and just to quickly put a technological perspective to what Chris and Ryan just said, if we think in terms of paradigms, the old traditional paradigm is so-called enterprise data warehouse, EDW, with business intelligence layer on top of it. The new school of thought and the new paradigm is a so-called logical data warehouse, where it doesn't matter where the data comes from. It doesn't necessarily have to all reside in the database. It can come from multiple sources and in multitude of formats. And in addition to business intelligence, we now think in terms of analytics. So not just present what's happening, but also being able to predict what's going to happen based on different business rules that we put in, diagnostic analytics, why it happened, and prescriptive analytics, what's the optimal course of action in light of your value criteria.
I would imagine the engineers in the audience would like that prescriptive part, huh? Actually put it in work boots and saying, hey, this is the optimal way to do something, huh?
Who wouldn't?
Well, I don't know who wouldn't. I know a lot of people who aren't engineers.
as long as you are able to articulate and algorithmize your value criteria.
Yeah, that's just how an engineer would answer the question like that. You know, I come from a background of arts and sciences. I have two kids who are engineers. So this is a table conversation we have every night at dinner.
And Amazon, to answer your Amazon question, Amazon is a great cloud provider. It helps us with taking what we have, and instead of maintaining our own data centers, we can put it in the cloud, virtualize everything. And Amazon provides all the tools and all the platforms that we otherwise would have to maintain in the data center.
Sure. Let's take a break. When we come back, I'm going to ask about Tony Scott and some of the concepts he brought about last week in his speech over at AFCA, and maybe talking about defining data visualization, what it all means, and how it can be applied to different agencies. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Chris Rowley, Edward Maiman, and Ren Swan from the GSA. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Got a full house today. We have Chris Rowley, we have Ryan Swan, and Edward Maiman, all from the GSA. We're talking about data visualizations and analytics and some of the insights that GSA has for my listeners. And that's why I do this show, is so there's a govy sitting over at Doyle, a federal IT professional at Interior, and come up with a problem and doesn't have a solution. And they type in analytics, they type in data visualization, they listen to this interview, and maybe they can walk away with something. And if they are searching on the internet, they may find quotes from the new guy in town, Tony Scott. And last week, Tony Scott was at an FC event, and he said, and I quote, "We must reimagine how we deliver the intended result using IT." Whew. Well, geez, you know, Chris, that's that's exactly what we're talking about today, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think you hit it right on. He talks about delivering IT, but within data, within analytics, it's very important that we embed the business and the business process within how we do analytics. And I think that's what makes us unique at GSA, is the way in which we're structured, that I'm kind of overseeing the office, the management, the technology, the open data policy, the full gamut of data, fully appreciating that I can't possibly do the data analytics and establish the technology at the same time, but we have to work together with the business, with the technology, with the problems to produce the right analytics for the right problem. And I think that, you know, he's nailed it, that IT has to deliver, but we have to deliver for an intended purpose, not just for the sake of delivering.
I don't want to hit into two cents of a topic, but because I'm an old geezer, I can say it. I think the average age at the FCC is 50. And if you're asking agencies that have older people working for them to reimagine things, sometimes it looks three people in this room. Three people in this room are all a lot younger than me, and all of a sudden they have a better idea of imagining things and maybe using stuff like open data and open source. Well, tell me, Ryan, what is the difference between open data and open source? Same thing? What's the difference there?
Yeah, it's very similar, John. Open data means that we're sharing information openly, whether it's from agency to agency, agency to public. And what that allows us to do, it allows us to bring more creative mind, innovative minds together to analyze our data, to find out what the data can tell us. I'll give you a great example. GSA, over the last 12, 18 months, we did a travel challenge where we put out some travel data and allowed teams to be formed to analyze the data, to see what information they can pull out of the data. And we got some really good insights from it. So that's open data. In that travel challenge process, we one of the requirements was that the innovators had to use open source software, which means that the software that they use is open source, it's not proprietary. So if an agency or some other organization wanted to replicate what they created, the actual source code of that software is open. And so open source is more towards the technology side, and Edward can definitely speak more to it. But open data is really about sharing information across multiple segments of public and private to formulate and analyze and continue to drive the decision making.
Many years ago, Edward, there's a guy who wrote a book about the history of science, and he talked about paradigm changes. And this was written in the early 70s. And people who study the history of science know this book well. We won't talk about it, but they talk about the big changes. And when I look at Microsoft Office and Excel and spreadsheets and, you know, PowerPoint, you know, that's great. I love PowerPoint when I first learned it. And I love spreadsheets to this day. But, you know, when it comes to an enterprise like what you manage, there's just limits to this, aren't there? There's certain limitations of what you can do and can't do with a spreadsheet as far as sending them around. You agree?
Correct. Office provides you convenience at your desktop, but when it comes to working collaboratively, when it comes to identifying and adhering to a single source of truth, that's where office paradigm is outgrown.
Yeah.
So for that reason, we actually have implemented the GSA Google Docs and Google Drive. It's very similar to Microsoft products, but it's highly collaborative in nature. So you can work on a single spreadsheet with multiple colleagues and make changes on the fly.
We had a company in here. They talked about copy data management and one version of the truth. And I think that's what all three of you are doing, is you're putting large amounts of data in one source and having people be able to manipulate them, whether it's open source data or open software. But that's what it does. It allows transparency better than a single spreadsheet can, with all the limitations that has.
And when it comes to open source used to be not as mature as it is today, let's say 5 years ago, so it couldn't compete with Oracles, IBMs, and Microsofts of this world. And it was more of a developer's toys. But nowadays, we have viable open source solutions wherever you look, in terms of databases, in terms of application servers, and in terms of document management systems, you name it.
Chris Rowley, I talked earlier about old geezers like me and new ideas. And I want to talk about the brain and interpreting ideas. I can remember years ago, this stuff called Green Bar, when people walk away with Green Bar and that's how they get their data. And it was a bunch of numbers. And I didn't really understand the numbers, but some people could actually read those numbers and have insights on them. But I think the data that you do produce or that an agency produces, you have to understand it visually. I think it's a starting point today, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the visualization is key. It's being able to have a variety of tools and software packages around that you can connect to a variety of data sources so that you're showing the right visual to the right people using the right tools. And, you know, even to go one step beyond that is historically a lot of this data has been pulled and stored and using SQL programming code and in MySQL databases and all this complexity of the way in which we manage data. And what the three of us are trying to do is really pull that up and make data user-friendly for anyone, right? And to be able to let people easily understand the data that they have, that they're looking at, and give them a viable, easy way to connect it to the right visualization tool for their specific use. Like I said, we're still in development stages. We've gotten quite a few use cases that we've done with that. Ryan's done a great job presenting visuals to a variety of people. Edward's done a great job of managing the technology behind it. And I think we have the right organizational framework to be successful and the right tools that we're developing.
So, Ryan, you are the director of data analytics, so you don't just hand someone a piece of Green Bar with numbers on it and walk away, do you? I mean,
no.
You have to be careful about presenting it, don't you? So what kind of insights do you have for listeners as far as presenting complex data sets?
Oh, John, you're absolutely right. I think that presenting complex data sets depends on the audience. A lot of times when we're doing visualizations, we're making a set of visualizations that are for maybe the executive level, a set for maybe middle managers, and then a kind of a more drilled down, if you will, set for analysts, but it's all part of the same data set. So you get the single source of truth. Oftentimes when we're doing analysis and we're doing the visualizations, the visualization is going to give you the directional. It's going to show you things that are the outliers, things that should be further investigated, where you're pulling the onion back to say, hey, is there opportunity for lease consolidation over here? Is there opportunity to increase utilization of our fleet here? And doing things that allow us to understand the data and inform our decision-making in the process. So it's very important to understand your audience. And in every agency, that's going to be different. At the Office of Government-Wide Policy, we work with a number of agencies at various levels. And so it becomes more of a, hate to call it an art form, but it's really understanding your audience and understanding what they're looking for, and then tailoring the visualizations to that.
Understanding your audience, that's interesting. My world involved marketing, and what I do is I help people create new websites. And a traditional website is more like a billboard, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to help people design interactive-type websites. And I think the traditional way to present data and data analytics might be the piece of paper, which is a billboard, but what you're presenting is something that's more interactive
that's
and
right.
dynamic. So someone
that's
can
right.
say, okay, here's the data. Okay, what happens if I do this? Okay,
right.
what happens if I do that? Where traditionally you would be lost. So you help people present data that can interact with the end user, whether it's another federal person or whether it's a civilian.
That's right. And I think, John, you hit a valid point. As you're presenting data, oftentimes we're asked the question, well, what happens if I do this? If I increase my utilization by 12%, will I save X number of dollars? And being able to take those what-if scenarios and do predictive analytics around, hey, if I focus on this behavior, what can I expect my outcome to be? And I think that's where we're going. I don't think we're quite there yet in all of our data sets, but I think that's the future.
I manage a fleet of three vehicles for my house, and when I look at gasoline prices, I like to be able to predict what my budget is going to be in the next 6 months.
There
are people who are listening who are fleets. They have fleets of 5,000 vehicles, and so you might be able to provide them as tools. Well, geez, gas prices went up or down, how's this going to impact your budget the next two or three quarters? I mean, this is really where it comes in, where the boots hit the ground is, okay, gasoline dropped 30%. It's going to go up 30%. What's going to happen to your fleet? And not my three vehicles, my four-cylinder cars, but this is really important. I'd like to take a break, come back, and I want to ask Chris about the culture of changing and the culture of understanding things in a different way and maybe reimagination and talk about how GSA can do that and how it's done it and maybe give some insights to other parts of the federal government in that endeavor. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We have three experts in analytics from the GSA. We have Edward Meeman, Chris Rowley, and Ryan Swan. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. During the break, all three of these guys ganged up on me, and we have to go back to serious talk now and talk about data visualizations and analytics. And we have Edward Meeman here. We have Chris Rowley, Ryan Swan, all from the GSA. And here's the situation. You know, you're a federal IT professional working at an agency. You're bombarded with data. You're trying to figure it out. There's all kinds of ways to do it. Well, who's done it? Well, what I want to do is see what the guy in the next office or the next agency did. And that's why we have these three folks in here trying to give insights on how to manage big data, what the best practices are. And sometimes what I found in my life is many times it's not a matter of having a bunch of smart people in the room, but that always helps. But sometimes you have to have a culture of innovation or a culture of risk-taking or maybe a culture where, well, geez, Ryan is not afraid to open up his mouth because Chris is going to encourage maybe disagreement in order to come to a conclusion. So what is the culture behind? Is this a flexible culture as well?
Yeah, I think it's a flexible. I think we have to be flexible on our end coming into organizations and talking about data analytics. And there is no magic bullet as to how you get this started. I think we've experienced several different angles, and our job is to go into these business lines, whether someone from a very senior executive level says we're going to go in, or whether we're asked to go in, or whether an analyst within the organization we become friends with and show them how things can work. There's lots of different ways to change the culture. There's no one path forward, and any opportunity we get to go in and talk to people about, you know, managing data from the transactional level all the way up to the executive dashboard level and the full life cycle of data and presenting it, you know, we take that opportunity. And like I said, it's come from a lot of different directions. Sometimes we get in from the technical angle. People just simply don't have the technology to do it. We do. It allows us to go in. Sometimes they have a problem and they just have not been able to figure it out. We go in from an analytics capability. So again, you know, the structure that we have with the CIO kind of leading the chief data officer role, myself and the organization, the technology, could not possibly do it without external data analytic teams that are going in and using the data and doing the presentation and the hard work of trying to get people to make decisions off of it. So there's a lot of angles there.
It's almost like, been there, done that, got the T-shirt, made those mistakes, and may want to learn from the mistakes that old Chris made because, boy, I tell you, the hard-earned lessons are from making mistakes. You used an important word called a dashboard, and a dashboard, I guess, is a real visualization of information. I got to ask Ryan this fun fact that I come up with for the interview here. This is a marketing fun fact, and in the world of marketing, what they say is that almost 50% of the brain is involved in visual processing. And so if you do hand someone a stack of numbers, that may not mean something. If you hand someone maybe a pie chart, that may be something. But all of a sudden, you have a dashboard that combines three or four things. Maybe that can make the data actionable.
Absolutely. I think, John, you make a valid point. Our experience has been with data visualizations, dashboards, geospatial representation of data. It really gives the end user a quick way to analyze, kind of draw your eye, if you will, to a certain part of the visualizations that's going to show whether something is out of whack, something that is doing great, you want to figure out what the best practices are, or maybe there's something underlining that's causing an anomaly to happen. And so the visualizations are going to open that conversation so that more dialogue is happening. I always say that while the data is not going to tell you everything, it is going to be directional. It's going to kind of lead you down a path. And if you have that culture that embraces the innovative thought pattern, the discrepancy resolution to go down a path to figure out, hey, what's going on here, then you can truly be successful with visualizations. And once again, it's about There are different levels of dashboards for different audiences, right? So some of them are at executive level. Some of them are kind of in the weeds that's more designed for analysts to kind of peel back the onion. And so it's about agencies finding that mix for the audience that's being presented to.
Edward, I was at a Tableau conference three or four months ago, and I wandered in the audience, started grabbing people and talking to them as I usually do. And I said, well, what's the value of data visualization? And the guy said, look, I'm a data analyst. I'm not a coder. I don't want to spend half my day coding. I want to spend half my day looking for outliers, trying to see how I can save money on buying fuel for next year for my agency, maybe trying to look at anomalies for medical data. And we know these are all important, but I think you're here to say, okay, now from an engineering perspective, from a enterprise architect perspective, you have to be careful about some of these processes. Is that right, Edward?
Absolutely. We're talking about the culture change. The new culture needs to earn credibility. And to earn the credibility, you have to be sure that you follow good and best practices of software engineering. Because software engineering is a science. It's an industrial discipline. And just because we're doing innovations doesn't mean that we have to ignore practices that have been accumulated over many, many years. So good engineering practices is a must. You should think through your solutions. You should architect before you develop and implement. You shouldn't be cutting corners, things like that. And like you said, the data scientist and coder are two different disciplines. Data scientist is concerned with how data is assembled, how data is processed, and coder is the one who takes the statistics and econometrics that data scientist gave him and puts it into lower level programming languages such as Java, such as whatever it might be, C, Perl, and so on.
R, anything, huh? Yeah, we know about R. That's coming, mm-hmm. big resurgence in that's for sure. Chris, so we've got all this data out there. We've got a smart guy like Edward making sure we're all in the enterprise architecture all set up. We got Ryan being able to show us how to do this visually. But there's still this little thing called human beings, and they have to collaborate. And one of the challenges I have is with humans collaborating, and it's always tough for me. So where does collaboration fit in all this?
Yeah, I think, you know, over the last 2 years, GSA has come a long ways in terms of data. Specifically, you know, there's a natural tendency to want to hoard data that you own within your transactional system. It's my data. If you want it, you need to come to me and ask me for access to that data, and then I'm going to grant you permission. And what we're trying to do is develop an open data culture within GSA and trying to open more of those doors across business lines. And again, there's several angles to that. One is, you know, we go in and talk to them about the use case, the business case. When there's willing partners, we show how you can use data analytics across business lines to help inform and make better decisions, whether it's especially in areas like leasing, fleet, procurement areas. So again, yeah, there's a difficulty within opening data within agencies. I think that's pretty common across the federal government. I think GSA has come a long ways in the last couple of years. We have a long ways to go. But the momentum is there, and people are starting to see the business reasons for doing it.
Ryan, we've had Todd Park in the studio. He's no longer with the government, and he talked about this fascinating phrase called meaningful use, which if you get a healthcare IT person in, that's 12-hour discussion just defining that. But if we take that word meaningful and apply it to data analytics, all of a sudden we have a phrase called meaningful metrics. It's
absolutely
like, well, geez, you know, you can tell me everyone in the state of Washington has got green shoes. Who cares? And so you have to take and apply not only analytical ability, but I think you have to take some common sense to come up. So really, how's that going to impact your fleet if all the drivers have sunglasses in Arizona? I mean, so meaningful metrics is part of this discussion, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, John. I think that meaningful metrics is very important. I think it goes to the collaboration. You got to have a collaboration between the business, the data, the technology, the technologists that are all going to have that conversation about what is actually meaningful. And in the example of the fleet, you know, the president recently signed an executive order on greenhouse gases. And so I'm working with the policy side and the fleet managers, and we have a huge fleet presence in GSA. along with the data scientists, we're actually able to use the data to come up with meaningful metrics as far as utilization of the fleet, the fuel types that we use in our assets, and how we actually can drive the behavior to reduce greenhouse gases. And so a lot of times agencies have a hard time identifying what the meaningful metric is because they're bombarded with so many metrics. What I would suggest an agency doing is just having kind of a brainstorming session where all ideas are on the table and you kind of identify the top three or four metrics that really illustrate what an efficient program is, whether we're talking the fleet, whether we're talking real property, whether we're talking mail or travel, so that you can identify which ones are truly meaningful. And that could be different from agency to agency. You know, State Department could look at their travel totally different than somebody like SBA, and for good reason. And so meaningful metrics is a part of the data scientist kind of realm, but it doesn't happen without collaboration with the business owners, the policy side, and the technologists to make sure that you're going down the right track.
I think what this means is that if your agency is charged with reducing emissions or going green, all of a sudden you can now actually have a metric on exactly accomplishing that task or not.
Absolutely.
And then your agency can be evaluated by a certain specific goal, whatever it happens to be, 33%, 32%. There's all kinds of agencies, all kinds of goals. Let's take a break. When we come back, talk a little about social media and talk more about analytics and data visualization and how other federal agencies can take advantage of some of the breakthroughs that GSA has in this area. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, we have three folks from GSA. We have Edward Maiman, Chris Rowley, and Ryan Swan. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Edward Maiman, and we have Chris Rowley and Ryan Swan. These three gentlemen from the GSA have been talking about some of the challenges my listeners have in understanding all this big data that's presented to them. Internet of Things, smartphones, tablets, just too much stuff coming in there. And we all know that no one in the listening audience here suffers from too little data. They have a whole lot of it. And the real question we're trying to answer today is, okay, we've got this piles and piles of data. How can we find out how to understand it, how to make it actionable, or maybe present it to citizens so they can make it actionable, or some kind of practicality with all this big data? We didn't mention anything about Twitter, and I always talk about Twitter. My Twitter handle is @RayGilRay. And if you want to follow GSA, it's @USGSA. But before we talk more about social media, I want to turn to Chris and say, well, geez, you know, we talked about David Linthicum earlier. He's written books on SOA, Software as a Service. There's kind of Platform as a Service. Everything's as a service, I guess. Is it? What about this analytics? As a, just send out a smart guy, send out Ryan or something? Is that what analytics as a service is?
it's a great question. And I think, you know, we're approaching this from a we are setting ourselves up in a scalable government-wide way. And everything that we do within GSA, we do so with the mindset of reusability. And when you start talking about analytics as a service, some of it is just providing the right people software and giving them access to the right software so that they can go out and do the analytics. And in other cases, they're going to need more help, and they're going to need people to walk them through what data they have, how is this meaningful, what problems are they trying to solve, and trying to bring that together. So it's really two streams of thought. Some of it's software, some of it's services, and we're trying to provide the right balance and provide that to folks who need it. You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, you know, other things that we're doing at GSA, like analytics.usa.gov, which is kind of tracking all government-wide websites. Where are the citizens coming into? Where are they at any given moment? Where are we going throughout the month? Our counterparts at 18F, colleagues who have developed a great site and are starting to do insight and analysis on citizen trafficking within the government websites. So there's
brand new building,
yeah,
I've been over there. Yeah, brand new building. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Ryan Swan, when is the Ryan Swan Roadshow next going to be up here in town here?
No, John, I'll be speaking at Semantic Government Symposium. It's April 15th at the Convention Center, where we'll be talking about data governance and other aspects of data in regards to data security, cybersecurity. So it should be a really good time.
I love face-to-face because you can grab Ryan afterwards and go, well, listen, I heard you talk about that analytics stuff and really how can I use it and really tell me the inside scoop. And that's the best thing about face-to-face interaction. I think you can grab Ryan by the tie and go, come here, buddy. I'm in big trouble. There are three different personalities in this room, and people listening going, I wonder who the real card-carrying nerd is. And so I have a scientific five-question test. I'm going to go through each one of these individuals real carefully, and then I'm going to name on the air exactly who the big nerd in the room is here. So we're going to start off with you, Chris. How many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
Only one, but I'm about to purchase a second one.
Doesn't count. What kind of smartphone do you have right now?
I have a Samsung.
Okay, and what's the most popular app on that?
Starbucks,
okay. And the last book you read, was it electronic or is it paper?
It was actually paper.
I think you can stop
rule
him
me
on
out,
that.
Probably,
even with
right
this
down.
One. Okay, Mr. Ryan Swan with two N's. How many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
One.
And what kind of smartphone is that?
Samsung.
What's the most popular app on that?
Most popular app, Instagram.
That's getting weak. And the last book you read was electronic or paper?
Electronic.
Okay, well, that's one notch over. And now we have the real brains in the room here. I think it's Edward.
I think it is too.
Okay, Edward, how many cell phones have you bought for yourself in the last year?
Four or five.
You see, Chris, I tell you, four or five. That's the right answer. What kind of smartphone do you use right now?
iPhone.
What's the most popular app on there?
Good Reader?
What's that for?
It's a universal reader, universal connector to different cloud providers.
Wow. And the last book you read was electronic or paper?
Electronic.
Well, we know who the card-carrying nerd is in this room. I mean,
right.
We're going to put an award together. That's no doubt about that. Wow, three or four. Wow, that's quite a number of smartphones there. You know, I talk about being a geezer, and I've seen so many things over the years. My head's spinning here. And just the whole concept of data analytics and big data and understanding what's going on. Well, Chris, where do you see this whole world heading in the next 4 or 5 years? Are my govies who are listening, they're going to get a handle on it? They're going to be all confused? They're going to use services? Or where do you see this whole big data analytics heading?
I think you are going to see a more focused effort on data as an asset within agencies. And you see organizations rallying around within IT that we haven't typically had organizations focus simply on data, not on applications, not on governance necessarily, not on security, just on data. How do we manage it? Where does it live? Who needs it? How is it useful? And the second phase of that is more Ryan Swans within government, more data analytic teams standing up at very senior levels to really digest the data and to support the business and support the businesses in making the harder decisions with larger volumes of data.
So Ryan, 1-800-CALL-RYAN, what's going to happen down 5 years? More and more analytics knowledge, GSA helping people, better tools out there. Where do you see it heading?
Absolutely. I think that in the next 3 to 5 years, you will definitely see more analytics shops standing up. I think at in the Office of Government-Wide Policy, where we're looking at primarily mission support data, this is data that all agencies kind of have in common. Everybody has buildings. Everybody has a fleet. Everybody travels. That we will continue to play a role to help agencies analyze and visualize that data to get meaningful metrics out of it. And I think that what you will see is a change agent kind of grow lateral across different agencies where it gets into their mission data that they particularly care about. And continuing to leveraging the same technologies that we're talking about, the same visualizations and the same processes in collaboration to continue to move the needle forward.
Edward, the big brains in the room here. What's going to happen 4 or 5 years? My listeners are going to get a handle on this. All confused. Where do you see this whole world of data analytics and visualization heading?
Well, I earlier talked about two paradigms. One traditional enterprise data warehouse with BI, and the changing paradigm that's more modern, logical data warehousing and business analytics. So I predict that transition from EDW to LDW will be more or less complete. And I predict that analytics, especially advanced analytics, such as predictive, prescriptive, and diagnostic, will become a true everyday science. And people, instead of relying on subjective opinions and simply stating their subjective opinions without scientific evidence, will now rely more on science and and analytical algorithms to help their decision making.
Absolutely.
You know, I teach in the technology management program at Georgetown, and what I see happening is that the deans are trying to get together and trying to come up with courses that maybe someone like Edward can teach and say, look, all that stuff, Now, here's what's really going on, and here's the best way to apply some of this new knowledge, because I think some of the stuff that Edward knows, you may not be able to find in a textbook. You may not be able to find in a blog. It's probably like informal information that people go to trade shows, they listen to Ryan, they write it down, and so maybe some of the intelligence that Edward has can be conveyed in a new way. And it's a challenge because the people who are in charge of teaching the youngsters this information, it's changing so fast it can't keep. So Chris, how do you keep in touch with all this change? I don't even know how to keep. I read everything and I'm still behind.
Yeah, no, that, you know, we spend a good deal of our time and have people who are devoted to market research on a regular basis. Yep. And we're always, meeting with folks, talking about new technologies, looking at trends. That in itself is a full-time job. But if you don't do it, you know, before you know it, you're falling behind in new technologies that are going to make your life easier. It is a tough balancing act to continue to do the day-to-day jobs without getting so entrenched in the current technology and processes that you miss out on opportunities.
It's a challenge, and we'll just have to see what's going to happen in the next 4 or 5 years and see what happens with data analytics and what position GSA has in helping other agencies come to grips with how to handle all this data. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Edward Maiman, Chris Rowley, and Ryan Swan. These are all folks from GSA. We spent the last hour talking about data visualization and data analytics. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.